Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and your care in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with us every step of the way in our lives. Help us to trust you always. We ask you, Lord, for you to open up our hearts and minds so we may receive what it is that you have for us and we may draw closer to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 31, found on page 156 in your pew Bible. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Any fans of Forrest Gump? It's a fun movie, isn't it? Sometimes I think about a line he says. I'm not gonna quote it exactly, but he says, "Now I'm not a smart man." I quote that a lot. I don't know everything. Now we just established that up front here. But there are a lot of times where I feel bad for not knowing everything. I feel like as pastor, as father, as husband, I feel like I should know everything. Or if maybe not know everything, at least be able to figure it out or say something wise. I was, when I was much younger, I had a desire. I didn't think of it this way then when I was in my late teens, but I think of this way now. I had a desire to be a walking fortune cookie, to be able to say that one perfect line, you know, that one quip that would take away all of your problems, that one smart thing that would make you think and say, aha. You know, I finally get it, to be able to be that one source of wisdom in this world where I could say whatever I said, people would hang on to that one line. How foolish of a desire that was as I get older. Because it took me a long, long time. Long time, and I'm still learning that it's okay not to know everything. It can't be done, nor would I ever want it, really. There are some things better left in the hands of God and in the knowledge of God. But I felt bad for it. I remember some council meetings years and years ago when I first started. They would ask me questions and I would say, I don't know, and immediately felt like that was the wrong answer. Kids asked me questions and I would say, I don't know, and they would feel bad that I don't know, and I would feel bad I don't know. Problems that me and my wife have faced in the past, I didn't know the right course to take, and I felt bad about not knowing what direction to go. It got so much so to the point where I started making up answers. Has anyone ever made up answers here? I'm sure you have. Every good parent makes up answers. Dad, why do geese fly south for the winter? Because it's cheaper than driving. I don't know. But I love this passage because it talks about how God chooses the foolish in order to shame the wise. And you start to look at the entire Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And you start to look at the characters of the Bible, the people that God has used. And it's one of the reasons I love the Bible so much, because our spiritual fathers and mothers, just as messed up as we are, they had just as little clue about what to do as we do. Father Abraham, who we talk about as one of our greatest fathers, of our spiritual fathers, one who trusted God so much that willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac on the altar. Every time he entered a foreign city, would have his wife lie about who his wife was to him. He would say to Sarah, "Now I want you to tell people that you're my sister, not my wife, because I'm afraid that if people find out that you're my wife, that they'll kill me in order to take you." And then we could fast forward to David, who was labeled as God's friend. But we all know David's shortcomings. David committed adultery and then very soon after committed murder. David was a terrible father to his kids. And David trusted in the strength of his country rather than the strength of the Lord. And then we fast forward. When Jesus was rounding up people to be his followers and the teachers that would carry on the religion after his death and resurrection, Jesus didn't choose the best and the brightest. Jesus chose the lowly, the workers, the fishermen, those who are you ever hear this term, the crust of society? One of my kids back there, I don't know which one it was, I yelled at it. I mean, I not yelled at. My voice didn't go over a strong decibel, but I corrected them, and I shouldn't have. They were making themselves some kind of sandwich, and they cut the crust off the bread. And I said, "Don't you do that. That is such a waste, and that's where all the nutrients are." It wasn't until I was 26 that I started eating crust on my bread, so I don't know. I don't know why I yelled at him, but it's that crust. You know, you don't want it, you don't need it, you cut it off and you let it go. Jesus asked those people to follow, to be his disciples. Simon the Zealot, do you know what a zealot is? A zealot was a group of people back in Jesus' day that hated the Roman rule of Israel, and so they would sow dissension in every opportunity that they took in order to point to the weakness of Roman rule and say, "Look, there's so many issues here, they can't do anything, let's rebel." But they would start that dissension. One of the things that they would do is they would walk through the marketplace with the knife and stab random people. Isn't that fantastic? Simon, one of Jesus' 12, was a zealot. These are the people Jesus chose. Not the best, not the brightest, not the most influential, but people with issues and problems. People who other people wouldn't necessarily look up to. I love our passage that we read today. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise, chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not to reduce to nothing things that are. It has taken me a long time, and I'm not still there yet, to feel comfortable when someone asks me a question to be able to say, I don't know. But you know, I don't know. But what I do know is that it's Christ who has held us. It's Jesus who has brought us forward up to this point. It's God who will take us from here to wherever God wants to take us into the future. I may not know all the answers, but with the love of God, I pray that I live that love in this world to those around me. And I pray as a church that we do the same thing. We may not know what the perfect ministry looks like. We may not know how to do things the exact right way that will bring in thousands of people. But what we do know is Christ crucified. We do know Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We do know to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. So I pray those things we do know, we live that. Live that to each person whom we encounter in our life. For I think that even in the midst of those things we don't know, those will solve a lot of problems.